and be the interim pastor for 6 months. It's the longest 6 months I've ever spent anywhere. How many were here back then, 25 years ago at our church? Yep. Back then I had no wife, no children. You know, there's just something in the water here in Pasco. That's what it is. Yep. But I appreciate all the prayers over the years and continue to covet your prayers. I was talking with a man yesterday. We had a wedding here. Our second grade teacher, Miss Scotto, got married here yesterday. And I was talking with a man from another church, and he asked me how long I had been here. And when I said 25 years, he was like stunned. He said, in 25 years, our church has already gone through five pastors in 25 years. And I told him, I said, that's not unusual for churches in our time, in our day and age. But it's been a joy. Take your Bibles this morning and turn to the Gospel of John and chapter 6. And when you get to chapter 6, we're going to be looking at the very end of the chapter, a couple of verses at the end. But while you're turning to John chapter 6, let's go ahead and pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God and for the opportunity to look into it. And I pray that this morning you would allow your Holy Spirit to really move here and touch hearts. We commit this preaching time to you and ask you to have your will in your way. Lord, I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit and give me exactly the words that need to be preached this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Today, for many of the jobs that people apply for, it is required that the employer does a background check on the applicant before hiring them. And this is good because when people apply for a job, they don't always tell the truth. Many times people put things on job applications that are just not true. So to find the truth about people and in order to protect themselves from lawsuits, they do background checks on the applicants. However, one of the divine mysteries in the providence of God is why the Lord Jesus would choose a no good scoundrel like Judas to be one of his 12 disciples. Think about it. I mean, the Lord is omniscient. That is, he knows all things, which means he knew that Judas was a scoundrel. And he even tells us that. Look here now in John 6 at the last two verses of the chapter. It says, Jesus answered them, "Have not I chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil." He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. See, before Judas betrayed the Lord knew exactly what Judas would do. This was no surprise to Jesus. Now, we don't understand that in our little finite minds. To us, making Judas one of the 12 would seem to be as ridiculous as hiring a man who's been married 12 times to be a marriage counselor. Right? It doesn't make a lot of sense to us. Or hiring a man who has filed for bankruptcy dozens of times to be your financial advisor. Right? It just doesn't make a lot of sense to us. Like hiring a man who doesn't even know how to change a tire to be your auto mechanic. Just, I guess hiring Judas would be like hiring your barber to do your brain surgery. I mean, it doesn't make much sense to us, right? Now, I can see how you and I could do such a thing because we often make bad choices. We all have made some bad mistakes, and one of the main reasons is because we can't see the future. But the Lord could see what was in the future, and he still chose this scoundrel to be one of his disciples. But we have to remember that Jesus has all wisdom. And there's not anything he does not know. We've all made bad choices. Sometimes it has to do with, you know, hiring the wrong person to do a job or buying the wrong car or buying the wrong house or maybe co-signing for somebody that wasn't really trustworthy or loaning money to a family or a member or a friend. And if we could have seen the future, we would not have made those mistakes. We make bad decisions because we don't know what we're doing sometimes. But the Lord Jesus is omniscient. And he knew that Judas was a no good scoundrel, but he still chose him. And it's not that Judas, you know, snuck in among the 12 without the Lord discovering him. You know, you and I, we can sneak and do things that our parents will never know, or our spouse will never know, or our friends will never know, or even your pastor will never know. But it is impossible to sneak something past God, because he knows everything. He knows everything we think, he knows everything we do, and he knows even our motive for everything we do. For Judas to think that he might have pulled the wool over the Lord's eyes, it reminds me of the story of Pedro, who came over the Mexican border on his bicycle. He's got two large bags over his shoulders. The guard at the crossing stops him and says, "What's in the bags?" Pedro says, "Sand." The guard says, "Well, we'll see about that." And he says, "Get off that bicycle." And the guard takes the bags and rips them open and empties them out and finds in them nothing but sand. Nothing but sand. And so what he does is he detains Pedro overnight and has the sand analyzed, only to discover that there's nothing but pure sand in the bags. And so the guard releases Pedro, puts the sand into new bags, and lets him cross the border on his bicycle. Well, a week later, the same exact thing happens again. The guard says, "What have you got?" He says, "Sand." And the guard does his thorough examination and discovers that the bags contain nothing but sand. And he gives the sand back to Pedro, and Pedro crosses the border on his bicycle. And this sequence of events is repeated every day for 3 years. Every day for 3 years. Finally, Pedro doesn't show up anymore. At a short time thereafter, it just happens to be that guard meets Pedro in a little cantina in Mexico. And he says, "Hey, buddy." He says, "I know that you were smuggling something. It drives me crazy. It's all I can think about. It keeps me up at night." He says, "Just between you and me, what were you smuggling?" Pedro sips his drink and says, "Bicycles." Well, I share that little story with you just a little reminder that it is possible for us to be deceived. I mean, most of us at one time or another in life have been deceived. But no one has ever deceived the Lord Jesus. It is impossible because there's nothing he doesn't know. He knows everything in the past. He knows everything in the present. He knows everything in the future. And it's actually essential that the Lord be omniscient. It's essential for him in order to judge us fairly. If Jesus was not omniscient, he could not judge us fairly. But because he knows our every action and motive on the judgment day, he can judge us fairly. And then it's also essential that the Lord Jesus be omniscient in order to guide us to make the right decisions in life. It's essential that the Lord know everything, because he could not guide us into making good decisions if he didn't know everything. For example, if a young girl meets a young man, she has to decide whether or not she should marry him. Now, she knows what she sees, but she does not know the future. He looks his best. He talks his best. He dresses his best to make her think that she is really getting a good deal. And so without consulting God, and without consulting God's word, she marries him. And 6 months after that, after she marries him, she finds out that she has been deceived. She discovers that she has married a first-class bona fide jerk. You know what? That's what happens when you don't consult with the one who knows everything. That's what happens. God is omniscient, and he can advise us before we sign the dotted line in making decisions about marriage or business or anything for that matter. There's nothing he does not know. Judas did not sneak in among the 12. The Lord knew who he was and what he would do. In Matthew 26, verse 21, speaking of Judas, it says, "And as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me." And two verses later, in verse 23, it says, "And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. Remember what the Lord said about Judas in his prayer in John chapter 17, verse 12. He said, "While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled." And then, of course, as we already read here in John chapter 6, Jesus answered them, "Have not I chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil." These are very clear words about who Judas was. And the Lord said, "And one of you is a devil." And I believe God wants us to learn from the life of Judas. Judas was an evil man, but there are some things that we can learn from his evil life. Such as, first of all, if you want to go to heaven, you need to know it's not enough just to be a church member. It's not enough just to be a church member. I would remind you that Judas belonged to one of the most godly groups of men that a man could belong to. But it wasn't enough. It's not enough to just be a member of the church. Many folks have hung out with the godly for decades, but they have never been born again. In fact, they hang out with the godly. They have hung out with the godly for so long that they think they're one of them. But just because we hang out with certain people does not mean we are one of them. I could hang out in the best garages here in Barreville, but that would not make me a mechanic, right? I could hang out with the cooks in the most expensive restaurants in the area, but that would not make me a good chef. And just coming to church will not make you a Christian. Billy Graham said this. He said, "The greatest harvest field in all the world is within the four walls of our churches." Within the four walls of our churches. And the teachings of God's word seem to confirm this. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23, Jesus said this, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." You know, if you ask many people if they know the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior, they will immediately say, "Oh yeah, I joined the church years ago," or "I'm a Baptist," or "I'm a Catholic." Why do they answer the question like that? They do that because they equate belonging to a church with belonging to Christ. But that's not true. You can belong to a church and still not belong to Christ. I want to remind you that Judas belonged to a group that was the most select group of Christians that has ever existed. He hung out with some of the most godly men on the face of the earth. He had the best preacher of all preachers. He personally heard the Lord Jesus preach and teach on a daily basis. But just hanging out with born-again people doesn't make you born again. The Lord Jesus said, "Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil." So the life of Judas teaches us that it's not enough just to be a member of a godly church. And then secondly, the life of Judas teaches us that if you want to get to heaven, it's not enough to have a position in the church. To have a position in the church. You know, the Bible tells us in John chapter 13 and verse 29 that Judas was the treasurer of the group. He was the treasurer. Now, he was not trustworthy with that position, but he was the treasurer. But Jesus in the Bible says again, "Have not I chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil." You see, just because a person is used of God in a position in the church does not mean that he or she is a true Christian. Many equate being used of God with being a Christian, but it doesn't work that way. It's amazing what God will use sometimes. In Numbers, God has used all kinds of things to accomplish his will. In Numbers 22, he used a donkey to speak to Balaam. You know, every time I get to feeling high and mighty, I'm reminded that God could replace me with a talking donkey and do just as good a job as I'm doing. But he used a donkey. Was that donkey a child of God? No, but God still used him. With Moses, he used a rod to speak to Pharaoh. With Samson, he used the jawbone of a donkey to certainly speak to the Philistines. With David, he used a sling to get a message to Goliath. With Rahab, he used a red string hanging out the window as a message to get a message to the Israelites. And then, of course, you get over into the, well, how about this one? This one always amazes me, is if you get a chance, study the life of King Cyrus in the Bible. Cyrus was a heathen Medo-Persian king. And God used Cyrus and his money and his provisions to rebuild the city of Jerusalem under Ezra. Wicked King Cyrus. God used him. You get in the New Testament, and you remember that God used a rooster to speak to Peter. And in the book of Acts, God used a lady named Dorcas who used a needle and thread to speak to people. She did sewing as an act of kindness towards people and had a good testimony for the Lord because of it. And so my point is, God has used all kinds of things to accomplish his will, and he can even use a hypocrite like Judas to carry out his will. Judas had the position of being one of the 12, and he was used as the treasurer of the group. And the truth is, all over this nation, in our churches, we have people that are behind the pulpit preaching that are not saved. We have people teaching Sunday school that are not saved. We have deacons that are not saved, and choir members that are not saved, and ushers that are not saved. Judas was the treasurer of the group. But the Bible says he was a devil. He was a devil. Judas had the position of being one of the 12, but position in the church does not make you a child of God. Did you know, you study this out for yourself and you'll find it, did you know that Judas is the only disciple that never called Christ Lord? The only one out of all the other disciples, he's the only one as recorded as never having called Jesus Lord. It's possible to be near Christ, to associate with his followers, to even be involved in his ministry, and still not be saved. It's interesting, in Acts 1:12, it says this about Judas, "For he was numbered with us, and had obtained part of this ministry." He had given his life to follow Jesus, but he had never given his heart to Jesus. Judas was counted as a follower of Christ, but was lost. He was probably baptized, but was lost. He preached the gospel, and yet he was lost. And he was trusted by all who knew him, except Jesus, of course, and yet he was lost. The late Dr. John R. Rice once wrote these words, "It is a terrible thing to go to hell from anywhere, but what remorse must be the portion of those who go to hell from the church." From the church. Think about this. In Luke chapter 22 and verse 44, we learn that Judas betrayed Jesus with a kiss. In John chapter 10 and verse 9, Jesus says this, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." So think about this. Judas kissed the door to heaven and yet died and went to hell. He kissed the door to heaven and died and went to hell. I believe the Lord Jesus chose Judas to be his disciple because he wanted to teach us that it's not enough to be a church member, and it's not enough to have position in the church. And third, we'll finish up with this, it is not enough just to hear the word of God. You know, I've always enjoyed listening to great men of God preach. I love to listen to Dr. Adrian Rogers preach. Now, he's in heaven now, but his TV program is still on the air. And I love to listen to Dr. Adrian Rogers preach. And I think that one of the greatest compliments I ever received was when a woman told me that I preach a lot like Adrian Rogers. Now, I know that was one of those holy lies, but I really appreciated her lying to me that day. Well, Judas had the greatest preacher in all of the world. He heard the master preacher preach, and everything he heard from the lips of the Lord Jesus went in one ear and out the other. See, it's not enough just to hear the word of God preached. It's amazing. All the sermons that some folks have heard, and it hasn't done them any good. All the word of God that's been preached to them has gone in one ear and out the other. See, we've got to remember what it says in James 1:22, where it says, "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self." Can you imagine all the good sermons that Judas heard? And it did him absolutely no good. It went in one ear and out the other. Judas was a scoundrel. He was a hypocrite, and he was a thief. The Bible tells us that. Jesus said it in John 12, verse 6, that he was a thief, that he actually stole money from the treasury. You know, each year since 1970, at Madame Tussauds Wax Museum in London, England, thousands of international visitors are asked to name which person, past or present, real or fictional, that they hated the most. And the names that have topped the list the most a number of times has been Adolf Hitler, Osama bin Laden, Saddam Hussein, Idi Amin, and guess this one, Richard Nixon. A vast array of names. But Judas Iscariot has never made the list. And that should surprise all of us. I mean, think about it. This was the man who betrayed Jesus Christ, the Son of God, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Prince of Peace. His name is synonymous with betrayal. Think about it. How many parents do you know that have named their sons Judas? I don't know any. I don't know any. He is regarded by the world as an evil man. And the truth is, Judas is in hell. How do we know that? Because Jesus, as I quoted earlier from John chapter 17, verse 12, refers to him as the son of perdition. Perdition. The definition of the word perdition is this: a state of eternal punishment and damnation into which a sinful and unpenitent person passes after death. And so, what is it that we learn from the life of Judas Iscariot? It's simple. If we want to avoid hell and gain heaven, it is not enough just to be a church member. It's not enough to have a position in the church. And it's not enough just to hear the Word of God. We must do what the Word of God says. We must readily admit to God that we are sinners deserving of hell. And we must believe the gospel, that Christ shed his blood and died on an old rugged cross for our sins, and then rose again the third day so we could have eternal life. And we must believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven. Not a way, but the only way to heaven. And we must call out to Christ in faith and let him know that we are trusting him and him alone for the salvation of our soul. Not our church membership, not our good works, not our religious rituals, but Jesus and Jesus alone. Jesus said in John 14:6, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And I guarantee you this, when he said no man, he meant no man. No man. There is no other way. And that is again verified in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. We're speaking of Jesus. It says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." And over in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, "There is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus." And this is the lesson we learn from the life of Judas Iscariot. If you want to go to heaven, it's not enough to be a church member. It's not enough to have a position in the church. It's not enough just to hear the word of God. You must personally put your faith and your trust in Jesus alone for the salvation of your soul. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God this morning and for the opportunity to proclaim it from this pulpit. And Lord, I pray that not a single person would leave this room today without being absolutely sure that they have placed their faith in Christ and Christ alone for their salvation. Now, Lord, we thank you for the number of people in this room who have already taken that step of faith. But Lord, I pray for the person here this morning who might not have yet done that. I pray that today they would open up their heart and call out to Christ and invite him to be the Savior and Lord of their life. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.